Live Creative Now, episode 41.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, and I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, the truth is, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it's how you change the world. Back in November, for my birthday, I produced a solo house concert to raise money, benefit concert, for Jazz Camp West for the scholarship fund to help people who couldn't otherwise get to camp this summer. It was a two-hour concert, and if you, listening right now, are one of my donors, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so grateful because thanks to you, I was able to write a check to Jazz Camp West for $550.10. It wasn't thousands, but hey, you know what? That's going to help somebody get to camp. So yay. Anyway, during the concert, I performed a lot of my original songs and I told stories. And I also tested out a 30-minute section approximately that I've been developing into a keynote all about my Creative Sandbox Manifesto, and I thought it would be fun to share it with you on the podcast. So, without further ado, here I am with my ukulele. Every spring, I go on a 5-day art retreat with my calligraphy guild, the Friends of Calligraphy. That's how I got into art, is through the world of calligraphy. And back in 2010, I was at this retreat, and I was really, really needing to be there that year because I was recovering from a broken heart because of so now we refer to him as the lousy ex-boyfriend. That relationship had just ended. So here I'm at this retreat, and there's a big room where everybody has table space, dedicated table space to work on whatever creative projects they want. I wasn't in that room at all. I didn't make any art. Instead, I would take my journal out on long walks every day and write and walk and write and walk and write and walk. So much to process. Until the very last day of the retreat. And in the morning, I took a shower. And as so often happens when you're in the shower, that's when your ideas hit, right? This phrase popped into my head out of the blue. A woman in love with her life is absolutely irresistible. Oh my God, I thought, I have to remember this phrase. I'm about to dive into the dating pool. I need to remember it. I have nothing to write with. I'm in the shower. So I madly finishing up my shower and repeating this phrase over and over and over to myself. And finally, I wrap myself in a towel and run down the hall to my room and I write down the phrase. And then I got dressed and I went straight down to my so far unused table space at this retreat. And I made this piece in the last 2 hours of the retreat. It says, a woman in love with her life is absolutely irresistible. And that's supposed to be a female sort of dancing-esque figure. That phrase just struck me so much because, and of course it's true for men as well, of course. It struck me so much because even before my relationship imploded, I had come to the conclusion that I was not in love with my life. I was burned out. I was broke. I hated my job. I was not living a creative life. And it wasn't supposed to be this way because I was an artist. I made my living as an artist. I had built up a business over about 15 years as a ketubah artist making Jewish marriage contracts. But in the process of building up that business, I had completely lost touch with why I became an artist in the first place. And art had become just a job. And when I finally got back to making art for me again, these brushstroke women, I brought a few more for you to see.
And those are for sale, right?
Absolutely. Of course they're for sale. 100% responsible for my own happiness. I made phrases that spoke to me that I needed to hear. Perfect in my imperfection and constantly improving. And why compare myself to others? There is no comparison. So after so many years of making art for other people to please my clients, I had forgotten how to play. Completely forgotten how to play. And I made these pieces for a while and I had fun with them, but then I started avoiding my art table again and I couldn't figure out why. And I realized that it's because these pieces were so meticulously designed and planned. I would literally make 50 identical brush strokes, pick the best one, scan it into Photoshop, make 50 identical other brush strokes, pick the best one, scan those into Photoshop. And it felt like working for a client. It felt like the opposite of play. And what I needed was to play. I needed to let loose and make messes and explore. I needed to be like a little four-year-old kid playing in a sandbox. That is what I needed, a creative sandbox. But because I had forgotten how to play, I had to create rules for myself to help me let go of perfectionism. And these 10 rules that I developed actually enabled me to make more art in 1 year than I had in the previous decade. I made over 150 pieces in a one-year period thanks to these rules, which I now refer to as my Creative Sandbox Manifesto, which I now present to you with ukulele. Anytime you're feeling stuck, you need some help to get out of the muck. You wanna find your way back to flow, you need the Creative Sandbox Manifesto. One, there is no wrong. Enough said. Seriously, I want to ask you guys, what is something that you would love to do, but you don't do, you avoid, because you're afraid that it's not going to be good enough, that you're going to do it wrong? Can you think of something? Is there anything that you, what are you thinking of?
An online webinar for intentional parenting.
Oh my God, you'd be so perfect for that, Lisa.
Thank you.
An online webinar for intentional parenting.
I'm going to do it.
Yes.
Yes, you are. You inspire me.
Yes. I don't even have to say the next part of this, which is whatever that thing is that you're thinking about, ask yourself, how would your life be different if you knew there were no wrong? If you could not do it wrong, if there's no good or bad, no way to do it wrong, how would your life be different? That space, that is the creative sandbox. So to recap, one, there is no wrong. Moving on. Two, think process, not product. When I'm in the creative sandbox, it doesn't matter if I like what I create or if I absolutely hate it. All that matters is that I'm having fun. Because the thing is, in the creative sandbox, the purpose is not to impress anybody. It's not to make money. It's not to win awards. It's not to get into a show. Not that there's anything wrong with any of those things. Those things are great. But when they become the focus, it kills creativity. It shuts us down like that. In the creative sandbox, the purpose is joy. The purpose is because when you do that thing that is calling to you, that you love to do, it makes you feel alive, right? It makes you feel alive. And this is not a small thing. Because when you feel alive, you take that with you everywhere you go. Every situation you encounter, every person you interact with is touched by that energy. That is huge. So, let's recap again. One, there is no wrong. So there's this great story in a wonderful book called Art and Fear about a local ceramics teacher who did an experiment. He divided his class into two groups at the start of the semester. One half of the classroom, totally random, would be graded at the end of the semester solely on quality. They only needed one pot to get an A, but it had to be perfect. The other half of the room would be graded solely on quantity, literally by weight. So 50 pounds of pots would get an A, 40 pounds of pots would get a B, 30 pounds of C, etc. Yeah. So at the end of the semester, which group do you think made the better work?
Quantity.
The quantity group. Of course they did. The quality group spent the entire semester theorizing about perfection and agonizing over trying to make that one perfect pot, right? Perfectionist paralysis, my God. Whereas the quantity group was cranking out all these pots, and guess what? They're learning from their mistakes. And they're having a lot more fun, too. Because remember, as long as you're not being sloppy, if you take care of the quality will take care of itself. Think quantity, not quality. If you take care of the quality will take care of itself. Four, think tiny and daily. Ridiculously achievable. It is so easy to think that we need great big chunks of time in order to create, right? Oh my God, I never managed to get great big chunks of time except once a year at the 5-day art retreat with my calligraphy guild, right? And now I host my own art retreat, so twice a year. That is not enough. So when I decided to dive into the creative sandbox, my commitment was just 15 minutes a day making art. That's it. I could do more if I wanted, but if all I did was 15 minutes, I got to check off that I was successful. And what was really amazing to me is that 15 minutes is actually enough to get into a state of flow. It doesn't take that long to get into that, you know, that juicy flow state where you lose your ego, you lose track of time. 15 minutes actually gets me there. And the other thing that really blew my mind is that just a little bit every day keeps my toe in the creative stream. Because I'm constantly immersed, I'm thinking about my art all the time, keeps my toe in the creative stream way better than if I were to spend 2 or 3 hours once a week, or even all day long once a week. Something about a little bit every day, really, really powerful. The other thing about tiny and daily is that when my goal is ridiculously achievable, when it's tiny, I am so much more likely to actually make it happen, right? When we set goals that are not ridiculously achievable, it's like you're looking at a pole vaulting bar, you know, like 20 feet high, and you have to jump over it without the running start and without the pole. It's impossible. But if your commitment is tiny, it gets you over that hurdle and past that starting friction, because that's the hardest part, starting. And once you start, you can keep rolling, right? So when it's tiny, you're going to succeed if it's small enough, which sends a message to your brain that, yes, you can do this. But so often we set fantasy goals, right? We think they're realistic. They seem like they should be realistic, but they're not. And so we fail over and over and over again. And that sends a message to your brain that you're a failure, which is not helpful. It is so much better to set a tiny goal, tiny commitment, and actually succeed at it. Tiny, tiny, tiny and daily. The other thing about tiny and daily is when you fall off the wagon, and I say when because you're going to, because you're human, and life happens, right? We're gonna miss a commitment at some point or another. When you fall off the wagon, if your goal is really tiny, then it's like that wagon is really short and it's easier to jump back on. So, let's see. You guys know Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote the book Eat, Pray, Love, phenomenal runaway bestseller. She has a new book out called Big Magic. And in that book, she writes, inspiration will always be drawn to motion. Inspiration will always be drawn to motion. And it's so true. We've already figured out that you cannot theorize your way to a perfect pot. We've established that. And you cannot intellectualize your way to creativity. You have to do something. You have to get your hands dirty, whether metaphorically or literally. This is the rule of my Creative Sandbox Manifesto, 10 rules that I think I turn to the most whenever I get stuck. You know, when I don't know what to write, I don't know what to paint, I'm like, I think I'll go check the refrigerator for the 37th time, you know. If I just start, eventually things will start to flow, and I'm usually faster than I think they will. It's like if you want to get water out of a faucet and the taps are rusty, and you turn them on, and the water that comes out first is rusty and gunky and unfit for human consumption. But if you want to get to the clear water, you have to let that rusty water run for a while, right? It's the same thing with our creativity. And no, none of us wants to make crap. We don't want to make the gunky stuff. Of course we don't. We want to make stuff that pleases us. But the irony is, the only way to access your richest, deepest, most original creativity is to let that crap out. We need the crap. It's the crap that fertilizes the good stuff. We need the crap to fertilize the good stuff. So, this is the space of curiosity. What would happen if? What if I drip the paint from 4 feet up instead of brushing it on the canvas? What if I use my fingers? What if I sew on the canvas instead of just painting? What if the character in my story goes left instead of going right? What if I take a chopstick and put it under the strings of my guitar, my ukulele, and take another chopstick and bang on the other on the strings, which is something that James Hill does. There's a YouTube video of him doing it. It's amazing. Check it out after this concert, because it will blow your mind. That is the space of curiosity. That is our creativity at work. Creativity is not about perfection and technical mastery. We try so hard to get technically good at things, right? That's not what it's about. It's about finding solutions to problems, making discoveries and allowing them to pull you in a new direction, and really following your curiosity. When in doubt, ask what if. 7, take the riskier path. When I'm in the creative sandbox, say I'm working on a painting, and I've gotten to a place where it's not done, it needs something, but But I'm afraid to add to it because I'm afraid I'm going to ruin it. Have you ever been in that place with something that you're working on? This is how we create a house full of UFOs, unfinished objects. Because we're afraid to finish them. We're afraid we're going to ruin it, right? Well, in the creative sandbox, this rule says, go ahead and ruin it. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to learn something. This is the creative sandbox. It's not brain surgery. Nobody's going to die if you ruin something, right? And I swear, I have developed entirely new styles of art, new techniques, because I took that riskier path. I did the thing I was scared of, and I ruined something, and wow, that's really interesting. And even if I do ruin something totally irredeemably and just gonna land in the trash heap, I'm thinking tiny and daily. I'm thinking quantity, not quality. So it doesn't stink so much because I'm gonna be cranking out more stuff, right? So, take the riskier path. Those voices of self-doubt and self-criticism that say, oh my God, that sucks. Don't show anybody that. That's, oh my God, that's terrible. You know, you should just quit right now and spare yourself the humiliation because you're never gonna be good enough. All those voices, I call those gremlins. And they do not belong in your creative sandbox. But they will creep in because gremlins exist to keep you inside your comfort zone. They're trying to protect you, keep you safe. It's actually kind of sweet. If it weren't so darn destructive, right? Because while they're trying to keep you safely inside your comfort zone, creativity only and ever happens outside your comfort zone in the zone of uncertainty. Because if it were certain, that means it's been done before. And if it's been done before, that means it's not really creative. So, put your gremlins on notice that they are not welcome in your creative sandbox. And when they appear, send them off to get a pedicure. My gremlins get way more pedicures than I do. You will have to do this over and over and over again and get used to it. Comparison trap. I love this one. This is actually a very specific kind of gremlin, and it's the one that pesters me the most frequently. So it gets its very own rule, number 9, spring the comparison trap. This is the gremlin that says, oh my God, their work is so much better than mine, I should just quit. Oh my God. I was at a workshop once many years ago with the Friends of Calligraphy, big surprise, and I was sharing a table with this woman named Linda, and her work was so gorgeous. Every time I would look over, I would think, her work is so cool and interesting. I wish my work was like hers. It was a really rough weekend. Because that judgy kind of comparison, oh my God, it kills creativity. Makes us feel so lousy, right? On the second day of the workshop, we all put our work out on the floor, kind of like a little gallery, so we could see what everybody's been up to over the course of the weekend. And Linda and I are standing next to each other. She's looking at my work, and I'm thinking, God, so gorgeous. I wish mine was like hers. She turns to me and she says, Melissa, your work is so gorgeous and cool and interesting. I wish my work was like yours. I mean, WTF! It was this amazing epiphany moment for me because it made me realize, first of all, this woman whose work I admired so much could see my crappy work as beautiful. It made me realize that maybe my assessment of my work is just my opinion. And who's to say that my opinion is any more valid than her opinion of my work, right? And the other thing is, it made me realize that other people's work is always gonna feel in some way more cool and interesting than my work, not because it's better, that's totally subjective, of course, but because it comes from their unconscious, which is totally unknown and mysterious, and so super interesting, right? So, spring the comparison trap. 10. And most of all, treat yourself with compassion. You're human. You're going to stumble. It's going to happen. And the thing is, if you beat yourself up when you say you fall off your commitment, whether it's to you know, create every day or stick on your diet or go to the gym or quit smoking, whatever it is, if you beat yourself up, you are actually less likely to get back on track. You're less likely to succeed in the long run. Scientific studies have proven this over and over and over again, that the people who succeed at their goals, whatever they are the people who treat themselves with compassion. We think that any kind of commitment is a product of self-discipline. It's not. It's the product of self-forgiveness. When you stumble, it's not an excuse to beat yourself up. It's an opportunity to practice my golden formula, which Lisa knows. Self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. Remember the golden formula. Self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. Now let's put it all together. Anytime you're feeling stuck, you need some help to get out of the muck. You want to find your way back to flow. You need the creator's sandbox manifesto. One, there is no wrong. Two, think process, not product. Three, think quantity, not quality. If you take care of the quantity, quality will take care of itself. Four, think tiny and dirty. Ridiculously achieve.
That's it. That's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed that recording of a live performance from last November. If you are getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends and go over to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review. Here are a couple of recent reviews. Tone Deaf Kitten, I love that username, writes, "Great stuff for creative peeps. I love this podcast. Melissa has been there and done that, and she's not afraid to share her failures and victories, which is something every creative person should keep in mind. As a writer, I can relate to her experimentations and adventures. You will too, no matter what you do." Thank you, Tone Deaf Kitten. I really appreciate your taking the time to leave a review. And Blankensop writes, "Upbeat revelations. Melissa surprises me with her discernment of inner challenges artists can face, and she's warmly down to earth with suggestions for dealing with art world situations." Thank you, Blankensop. Thank you for leaving a review. You can leave your own review over on iTunes, and I might just read it on a future episode. You never know. Meanwhile, if you know of a group or organization who could use a keynote speaker or workshop presenter, send them my way. My speaker page isn't up yet on my website, but it will be very soon. Thanks again for joining me, and until next time, go get creating. Mwah!
Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.